Well, I hope you will continue to enjoy your lunch and the fellowship. It is so good to see such fellowship around the tables. We're delighted that you are here. Thank you. Well, I'm not sure our gathering would be complete without a few door prizes. So we have everyone's name who registered in our little drawing here. You know, we've done the number thing, and that hasn't always worked out so well. So we thought we would try something different. Last time we did a little trivia, which was fun. But we're going to let Miss Tiffany draw for us because it's completely impartial. Oh, look, Tiffany Boggs. No, I'm kidding. Stephanie Bean. Stephanie, where is Stephanie? Yay, thank you. Come right on up. We have something for you. This is also a great way to get to know folks. Thank you, thank you. I can't think of anything clever like, you know, when you get your gift, you have to say something, but I won't do that to you. Okay. Thank you. And the second door prize is Emma Simmons. I saw Emma over here. Yay! Love it when our young mamas get to get something too. Great. Thank you. And just one more. You're there.
Okay. It's not tickets.
It's not tickets. It's just names. Just a name. Brenda Young. Yay, at our table. There she is, right there. Wonderful. And I think that was the last one, right? Great. Well, I want you to know you're in for a real treat. There are some times that we have beautiful worship leaders, and then we also have incredible speakers. But this morning, I'd like for Tiffany to introduce our speaker who will be delighting us with both, bringing worship and introducing her now. So, thank you, Tiffany.
Thank you. So glad to see all of you. What an amazing turnout. And like Claire said, we are in for a treat with Emily Capelli. Emily and I go way back, honestly. We have been friends. We were just talking about it. I think it's at least 10, 12 years. And we were in a small group together and just, oh my goodness, loved our time together. And actually, in that small group, Emily, I remember you giving me your first CD that she made. So she is a singer-songwriter from Georgia. She spent a little time in Nashville just, you know, working on her beautiful talent and had some music. And then she went into worship, the worship ministry in music. And she was with Buncombe Street for 8 years. She's still a member at Buncombe Street. Went to Clemson. Lives here in Greenville with her husband and her three precious boys. And she is, like I said, y'all, she is just amazing. This morning I was reading and had my little quiet time, and this verse so made me think of Emily. I was like, oh my God, you're so sweet, so sweet. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. And that's Psalm 145:18. And that is just, Emily is a perfect example of that, y'all. She is a perfect example of a lady that calls on God and just draws near to him in all times. And I think we're going to get to hear a little bit more about that today. And can't wait. So excited. Welcome, Emily.
Oh, my goodness. That was too sweet. Thank you, Tiff. How y'all doing? You good? Well, I am very honored to be here with you, and I know we've got lunch, and if you're like my oldest son and you're a diner, it might take you the full hour to eat your lunch, so I want to invite you to feel comfortable eating while I'm up here. But I'm just so happy to be here. I feel like God has brought us together for a purpose this morning, so I felt like to start us off, let's just center our hearts, really get aligned with the Holy Spirit today. Whatever you brought in to this lunch, whatever worries, concerns, Claire said earlier, we're women and we hold a lot of people's burdens, don't we? Especially this time of year. So I just want to invite you to lay it down. We're just going to center our hearts for a moment. I'm going to play this beautiful hymn in the season of Advent. Feel free to sing with me if you want, or you can just listen to the words.
I'm going to be doing a little dance up here, going back and forth, so y'all bear with me. Thank you to Matt Mullett here at First Pres. He's been wonderful to work with, getting me set up with all this tech stuff, so thank you, Matt. All right. Well, Tiffany gave me a beautifully worded, she stole my whole introduction, but I'll tell you again who I am. My name is Emily Capelli. If I haven't met you, thank you for having me. This is truly an honor for First Pres to have me. I've been on this stage a handful of times over the years at Above All and leading with Graydon here and there, but it's a pleasure to be with y'all today for your luncheon, and you all look beautiful and festive. I wore my green pants to try to be a little festive, so anyway, I did grow up in Georgia, but I went to Clemson, go Tigers, and after I graduated, I got my big expensive degree from Clemson, and then I told my parents I was going to be a musician and write songs. Go try to make it in music, which, anyway, I had an opportunity to go back and forth to Nashville a lot. I was songwriting, got to write with some of the best songwriters in the world, in country music particularly, and was just really living the dream of going back and forth and got to record some albums and had Vince Gill sing on one of my albums. I got to be in Vince and Amy's house one time, which was like a childhood dream, just to get to hang out with them. Amazing people, as you can imagine. Just had some incredible opportunities. Dolly Parton recorded one of my songs a few years ago. So just such an awesome, awesome gift from God that he's allowed me to do my music. And I never lived in Nashville. I was always based here, went to Clemson, ended up meeting my husband, and we moved here, got married in 2012. So when we decided we wanted to slow down and start a family, God very graciously kind of slowed down my music career. We started trying to have kids and all that, ended up having three boys, bam, bam, bam. It was wild. Still is. Sammy is 4, Brighton is 6, and Leo is 8. So, and that's my husband, Matt. So, love my boys, but during that time of having kids and raising them, God was very gracious and gave me a job over at Buncombe Street right next door. I was not interested in working at a church, and I told them I would help them be an interim worship leader while they were looking for their full-time person. So I thought I would be there for 3 months or so. And 8.5 years later, God is like, gotcha, you know. So anyway, 2017, this is before I was pregnant with Leo, was hired by a man named Justin Gilreath, and he was a wonderful pastor. He was the associate pastor there, just a godly man, very prayerful, very just a faithful, faithful man. And we worked so well together. He was, you know, it was just one of those like-minded partnerships on mission together, and we were able to accomplish a lot of, with partnering with the Lord, of course, just good ministry and growth at Buncombe Street over the past 8 years. And if you know Justin, you know that, and if you know anything about our church, we have been through it the past, 5 years. It's been a lot. And the hardest thing that our church has gone through was the death of Justin last November. So we just had the 1 year anniversary. He died on November 16th last year. And Justin, like I said, he hired me. We were very close. We were good friends. And not a lot of people knew the health struggles that he was dealing with because he was very fit. He was very talented and able to just get up and preach every Sunday morning, had the energy. But internally, he was really suffering. He had chronic Lyme disease. And physical pain just began to grow and grow. He was named our senior pastor in 2023, which added on more stress, which maybe, I don't know, I'm not a doctor, but his physical ailments just began to grow and grow, which of course, if you've ever dealt with physical pain, you know that will affect your mental state. And so his mental state just began to deteriorate, and he just lost himself. He forgot who he was in some ways, and sadly, he died by suicide in November of 2024. So that was gut-wrenching for me, for our community, his wife, 2 kids. Our church is still walking in that grief. And I do want to take a moment to say thank you to First Pres. And really, I know there's a lot of churches represented here today, and really this whole Greenville community and the downtown churches especially rallied around us during this time of just incredible devastation and heartache. So thank you so much. Personally, I got a big spread from probably people in this room, cooked a bunch of meals that week after, and even just brought to my house for my family. So thank you so much. Those are the gifts worth giving that we're going to talk about later. So thank you. But coming out of that grief, the beautiful thing that God did for me was allowed me to process it through my songwriting and through my music. So when I was having kids, I really lost, you know, margin, lost the free time to do much of anything besides care for them, right? And songwriting, creativity often comes in the margin. And so for me, this grief just threw me back into my songwriting as a way to process and as a way to, it was really a lifeline for me. So before we jump into the gifts worth giving part, I thought I'd play a couple songs for you guys that have come out of this hard season. The first one is one that you may have heard if you've followed me online at all. I was able to record it and release it this past year. And this is a song. It's called Look at the Birds. And it was a song one night. I'd put the kids to bed, sat down. I was thinking about Justin. And he had this sign in his office that I saw every day, look at the birds. And he was funny about little sayings. Jenny even sent me a screenshot of something she found in his phone just a couple months ago that said t-shirt ideas. And it had these little one-liners, and one of them was look at the birds. So anyway, he had this sign, and it popped in my head one night, and I was thinking, obviously this comes from the verse Matthew 6:26. Look at the birds, how God provides for them. How much more will he provide for us and care for us, right? And so I thought, well, this will be a good song title. And just kind of started working on it as a songwriter does. And wrote the chorus very quickly. And then started thinking about Justin. And I knew all these conversations we had had. And what would I say to someone like him in need? And so wrote the verses over a short time. And Look at the Birds came from that. Perfect timing.
That kind of sounded like an intro for Look at the Birds. Do, do, do. All right.
When you've lost all faith and forgotten who you are, when you can't see straight 'cause you're blinded by the dark, when the wilderness has stolen all your hope and your anxious heart feels invisible, look at the birds, how they fly through the air. Not a worry or wonder, not even a care. Look at them soaring, sun on their face, singing a new song every day. No fear of the future, no plan to provide. They trust in the Father, their maker and guide. No reason to doubt him, he always comes through. And when you look at the birds, know he's looking at you. At the bottom of an empty well, deep and dry, wondering how you're gonna make it out alive. You try to control what you ought to let go. Child, you're not alone. Look at the birds, how they fly through the air. Not a worry or wonder, not even a care. Look at them soaring, sun on their face. They're singing a new song every day. No fear of the future, no plan to provide. They trust in the Father, their maker and guide. No reason to doubt him, he always comes through. And when you look at the birds, know he's looking at you. He's got you in the palm of his hand. Hope for the future is always his plan. He cares for you. Just look at the birds. Look at the birds, yeah. Look at the birds, how they fly through the air. Not a worry or wonder, not even a care. Look at them soaring, sun on their face. They're singing a new song every day. No fear of the future, no plan to provide. They trust in the Father, our maker and guide. No reason to doubt him, he always comes through. And when you look at the birds, know he's looking at you. Oh, he's looking at you.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, that song has been an anthem of hope for my heart and for our community, so I hope it is encouraging to you as well. And that song, that verse, is a promise from God. We talk a lot about, you know, God keeps his promises, but a lot of times if we don't know his promises, know his word, then what are we hanging on to, right? So it's important to know all the promises, and there are a lot of promises in the scripture. You know, he's strong when we're weak. He will never leave us or forsake us. There's so many. And so I was thinking about the promises of God one day, and I thought, you know what? This is not like being a believer in Christ and believing the word of God is not like rubbing a genie lamp. It's not a wish upon a star. It's more than a wish. It's we're standing on the promises of God, the word of God. So wrote this song called More Than a Wish.
My heart, it's broken in pieces right now. I'm begging you, Jesus, come quick, come near. I need to heal, I need to feel your love. You said there'd be trouble in this world, but you said the victory is yours. Take heart, receive the peace that I give. Is more than a wish. So I'm holding on to every word that you said. When I can't see past the broken road ahead, you never change, you never miss. Your word stands firm. It's more than a wish, I'm standing on it. It's a promise. You shine light in the shadows, and you fight all of my battles. You guide my feet, you never leave. You're strong when I'm weak. So I'm holding on to every word that you said. When I can't see past the broken road ahead, you never change, you never miss. Your word stands firm. It's more than a wish, I'm standing on it. It's a promise. I'm trusting you with every step that I take. Your truth lights up the path, making a way. You never change, you never miss. Your word stands firm. It's more than a wish, I'm standing on it. It's a promise. You work all things together for good. Every word that you say, like you said that you would. You said there'd be trouble in this world, but you said the victory is yours. Take heart, receive the peace that I give. It's more than a wish, it's a promise.
Amen, amen.
Thanks for letting me play a couple songs for you. I hope that they've been a little encouraging for your heart. All right, well, we're in the spirit of Christmas. So, of course, today we're going to talk about gifts. And I brought my three little wise men here to remind us. I have this beautiful nativity set my mother-in-law gave us. I think they're handmade from Poland or something. Anyway, I thought they were cute, so they're on display today. As a reminder that our gift-giving tradition at Christmas comes from the three wise men, right? They brought the three gifts to baby Jesus when he was born. And the cool thing about these gifts is that they all represented something about Christ's identity. So we got gold represented his kingship, frankincense represented his deity, and myrrh, his humanity. So as we're thinking about what we're giving to each other and to our family. Y'all have a long list of things to get people, right? Yeah. Is it just me? Like my phone? Yeah. It's bonkers what we do to ourselves at this time of year. So my hope in this message that I feel like is from the Lord today is to just help press pause on all the chaos that's going on around us. And just realign our hearts with the whole purpose of what we're doing here. We're waiting on God. We're going to celebrate his birth. We're going to experience his joy. And we're going to receive his peace. And we're going to be lights to the world. So we're just here to kind of realign our hearts and remember what we're here for. So my question is, what if our gifts to others this year are like those of the wise men? Something that reflects who Jesus is. All right, so my grandfather, his name was Bill Schuler, born and raised in Sumter, South Carolina. I feel like there's always somebody from Sumter in every room. There we go. Okay, you probably know Bunny, my grandmother. You do? Okay, see, I'm serious. Everywhere I go, somebody knows Bunny Schuler. Okay, so Bunny is 91. She's the Energizer Bunny. She could run circles around all of us still. But she was married to my grandfather, Bill, and he passed away in 2019. And at his funeral, at his burial, Sumter, everybody knows everybody, right? So, especially Bunny Schuler. So, a man came up to her at his funeral and said, "Ma'am, you don't know me," which is rare, "but I worked for your husband, and Bill Schuler was Jesus to me." And that was a gift for all of us. So, this afternoon, we're going to be talking about how can we be Jesus to someone? What does that look like? Well, the good thing is, it's not up to us. This is something that God desires to do through us. He partners with us. He doesn't work alone. All through Scripture, God uses people to accomplish his will. So he partners with us. So that's what we're talking about today. So we've got three practical gifts that we're going to talk about that I hope will inspire you and encourage you in your walk. And when you're thinking of all the people you want to love on this Christmas, will help you keep you focused on the things of Jesus. So gift number one is the gift of our attention. Oh my gosh. Do y'all struggle with this? We are multitasker women, right? Is that just me? We multitask. I am doing the dishes while also planning the next 3 weeks in my head, while also listening to my 4-year-old tell me something about somebody at school. My husband's telling me a story, and I'm scrolling on my phone. Oh my gosh, that makes me feel so icky, but I still do it. Don't y'all do that? It's awful. We have distractions everywhere. But if we look at Jesus and the Scriptures, how was Jesus? He was attentive to others. He was present with them. He listened to them. He shared his time with them, and he cared for them. This makes me think of the story from John 4, from Jesus and the woman at the well, right? He was walking with his disciples. They had been on a long journey, and his disciples had gone into town to get some groceries, and he was finally by himself. And he's like, "Oh, man, I'm so thirsty. I'm tired." He gets up. He sees this well, sees this woman, and he's like, "Hey, can I have something to drink? I'm very thirsty." I would have probably said, "Oh, thank God. Okay, I'm going to come over here and just have a moment, because I've been with these other guys for so long, and we've been on this journey. I just need a moment." Instead, he sat with the woman. He looked her in the eye. He probably talked real slowly with long pauses. That's hard for me. And he was able to look her at her, hear her need, and meet her. And by giving her his time and attention, he changed her life, and he changed the course of history in a lot of ways, because she went and told all of her friends, right, that she had met the Messiah. So my goal for us is to just have maybe one degree in the trajectory of helping, giving someone our attention this Christmas in our life. Just slow down, give somebody our attention. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it is somebody random you meet at the grocery store who needs to talk to somebody. This is where the partnering with God comes back in. It's not up to us in our own strength. We're trying to be attuned to the Spirit. When he gives you that nudge, hey, pause, slow down, listen. Even if it's your 8-year-old daughter who talks a lot, I don't know. I don't have an 8-year-old daughter. My 8-year-old son doesn't talk very much. But whatever it is, the people you live with, your extended family, who we see a lot at Christmas time, take time. So my question is, in a world full of distraction, where we're all looking out for ourselves, how can we be Jesus to someone by sharing the gift of our attention? All right, let's look at number two, the gift of encouragement. We all love encouragement and need it, right? Yes, how good does it feel? I mean, look at this quote. I love this. Flatter me and I may not believe you. Criticize me, I may not like you. Ignore me, I may not forgive you. Encourage me and I will not forget you. That's so true. Even in Proverbs 12:25, it says, anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. We see that every day. You've probably all been cheered up by an encouraging word, right? And our world is so dark and heavy and anxiety-ridden. How much we need a word of encouragement. Jesus encouraged others by reminding them of God's love, his power, and his faithfulness. I'm going to tell you a story. I was trying to get pregnant, my husband and I. We were trying to get pregnant for the first time. Every young couple, you think, okay, here we go. And then it's like, oh, wait, this is taking a long time. So we had trouble getting pregnant. We had one miscarriage, and it was discouraging. Ended up working with a fertility doctor. Finally got pregnant and had seen the heartbeat four times or so. Everybody felt confident. We were getting ready to graduate from the fertility doctor, and it was great. This was the same time, if you follow Clemson football, when we were down in Tampa for the national championship with Deshaun Watson. We had lost the year before. This was our first national championship we've won since I had been alive. This was huge. We were there. Me, my parents, my sisters, all of our husbands, we were there. We were also just ecstatically on top of the world, not only because Clemson had just won the national championship, which felt, I mean, it was a huge deal, right? And, but we were also early pregnant. And after this, you know, this big struggle, we were just so excited. So we had gotten home 2 days after we had gotten home from Tampa Bay. I had an ultrasound and there was no heartbeat. Devastating. It was like the rug was just pulled out from under you. And I mean, it was just heavy. My heart was heavy, you know, and we had to do a DNC in the hospital the next day. And I was just recovering. And I mean, it was just, we were just sad. And I know a lot of people go through this, but it just felt like we're starting over after all this. And so we're sitting on the couch. We had planned to go to Clemson to celebrate with the parade and all of that Saturday, but we couldn't because I was recovering from surgery. So it was that Sunday night, and my phone rang, and it said unknown number. And I was like, what? My husband's like, yeah, answer it. So I said, hello. And on the other end of the line, I hear, Emily, this is Coach Dabo Sweeney. And I thought somebody was like pulling a prank on me, but it was really him. And he said, Emily, your sweet husband wrote me an email and said that, told me all that you had been going through, and I just wanted to encourage you. And we talked for 5 or 6 minutes, and he said, hey, don't give up. I mean, he's a coach. He was like coaching me up. He's like, hey, don't give up. Galatians 6:9. Do not become weary in doing good. For at the right time, you will reap a harvest. Do not give up. He told me about he and Kathleen's struggle to get pregnant. They had gone through fertility treatments. They had 3 boys. And, you know, just beautiful, God's faithfulness, God's power. He told me about some of the coaches on the team that were struggling with fertility. Y'all, my husband and I were sitting there just sobbing the whole time he's talking, and it was such a gift. And I mean, it was cool that Dabo Sweeney called me, especially at that time. But I honestly felt just like God had come down from heaven and given me a hug. You know, my heavy heart was lifted. It was cheered up by this word of encouragement. And Dabo felt the nudge. I know that he did. He felt the nudge to call me, and he partnered with God to encourage our hearts in that time. So I was able to go visit, go to the ladies' clinic the next spring, and I was pregnant, got pregnant right after the DNC, praise God, and with Leo, and we got to see Dabo, and he, I gave him one of my CDs. That was back when people had CD players. And I gave him a CD, and I just had thanked him, and he started telling everybody that I was famous. He's like, this is Emily, she's famous. But anyway, so sweet, and he and I have gotten to keep in touch over the years, and so now he knows we have three boys, and it's just a sweet, sweet story of God's faithfulness, but also how he uses the body of Christ to encourage each other. So you don't have to be a celebrity to encourage anybody. Just think about, I mean, you could ask God every morning, Lord, who do you want me to encourage today? And let him put somebody on your heart, and just say a prayer, send him a text. That's it. You never know what you could do to change their day. So, how can we be Jesus to someone by sharing the gift of encouragement? Just have that word of encouragement in the top front of mind. I have so many people who do this for me. It is life-changing, y'all. Be an encourager. All right, the third one. Man, the gift of prayer. This might be the greatest gift we could ever give anybody. This is truly partnering with God and with the Holy Spirit. He doesn't work alone, remember. He partners with us, especially in prayer. This is how the Holy Spirit accomplishes his plan. He wants to use us and include us. The scripture in James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to each other, pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Praying is not that hard. It can be intimidating, right? To say, how do we pray for people? I don't know. Elaine Martin, I don't know if she's here, but she was my small group leader, Radiance, many years ago. And she taught us this simple prayer of exchange. If you don't know what to pray for somebody, if you know somebody is feeling sad, Lord, would you take their sadness and give them your joy? If you know that somebody's dealing with anxiety, Lord, would you take their anxiety and give them your peace? Lord, would you take their fear and give them your courage? These are prayers we can pray for ourselves as well. Just super simple. Just, Lord, take this thing, whatever we're feeling in our humanity, and fill us with your supernatural power and love. So prayer, very, very important, very simple. This is a Bible I wanted to bring. I have a lot of these old Bibles. This one's from 1957. This was my granddaddy, who I told you about, Bill Schuller. This was given to him by his mother and daddy with all our love. Christmas 1947. It says, our prayer is that the words of this book will indeed be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. So there's evidence that my granddaddy's parents' prayers were answered because of the life that he lived. The prayers we pray over our children, we pray over the future generation, our children's children, they make eternal impact. They matter. My grandparents, I have some really cool dishes from my grandparents, my great-grandparents. Like, I like that kind of stuff. Really cool old stuff. I have some really cool rings. I have, what else do I have? I have a really cool, like, handmade thing. None of that is going to heaven with me when I die. All that's cool, but the greatest legacy that they gave me is the gift of their faith. I have Bibles from my great, great, great grandparents, old falling apart Bibles. And I can see the verses that they've underlined. I can see prayers they wrote in the margin. I see evidence of their prayers even in my life now. So this is such a cool verse. Is that Clemson? Is that Dabo calling? I'm just kidding. If your phone rings, apparently I'm going to call you out. I'm so sorry. Okay. This verse is so cool, y'all. It's one that I feel like maybe gets overlooked, but 1 Timothy 1:5, this is Paul talking to Timothy. He says, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you as well. This is a challenge. There are so many women full of wisdom, full of faith, full of testimony in this room. So maybe some of you are being called to become spiritual mothers and spiritual grandmothers instead of just coming to receive at church and all the things we're involved in, but pour out into the younger generation and pass this legacy of faith and this impact of prayer, this gift of prayer. How can we be Jesus to someone by sharing the gift of prayer? Ask God in the morning, who can I pray for today, Lord? He's going to put somebody on your heart. So God's desire is to bring heaven to earth. And he does that through who? He does that through us. Each one of us, he uses us. What a gift that he wants to include us in his miracles. So sweet. So when the time comes for our funeral services, which it will come for all of us, I really hope that people are going to come up to our family and say, oh, that girl, she was Jesus to me. That would be nice. But the real one we want to have the affirmation from is when we look Christ in the face and he says, hey, good job, honey. You did it. You represented me well. You gave gifts that represented me, that pointed to who I was. You gave people your attention. You slowed down. You were present with them. You listened. You encouraged others. You prayed for people. Do we give gifts that are eternal, that have eternal impact? That's my question. So 11:36, Romans 11:36, this is one of my favorite verses. It says, for from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. I've got one more song just to put a bow on this, and we're going to end with a little sing-along part if you don't mind. The song is called All Things.
You're the root beneath the surface, you're the fruit my spirit bears, from the first breath to the harvest, you're the joy that fills the air, you're the heartbeat of all that lives. Jesus, you breathe new life. From and to you are all things, you're the river. Your glory flows forever like an endless stream, 'cause from and to you are all things, from beginning till forever. You're the banner of my soul, God, your presence is my treasure. You're the anchor to my hope, the fullness of all that's good. You are perfect and true. From and to you are all things. You're the breath in my lungs. You're the song that I sing. You hold my heart together, every prayer, every dream. And from and to you are all things. God, your love is ever present, and it's lighting up the dark on the earth as it's in heaven. That's the deep cry of your heart. From and to you are all. greatest love this world has ever seen. Oh, everything is possible for those who believe. 'Cause from and to you are all things. Yeah, from and to you are all things.
Before we go, I thought it would be nice for us to just unite our hearts and sing this Christmas song together.
Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. You are worthy, for You alone are worthy, for You alone are worthy, for You alone are worthy, Christ the Lord.
Let's just take a moment, if you would, just close your eyes. We've been talking about gifts. Lord, at the end of the day, all we want is for You to receive glory. Let's sing this together.
We give You all the glory. We give You all the glory. We'll give You all the glory, Christ the Lord.
Amen. Thank y'all so much for having me. I hope you all have a very Merry Christmas.
Thank y'all so much. Was that not, I mean, come on, ladies. What a gift she was to us today. Thank you so much, Emily. Thank you so much. We do have dessert on the table. Please go pick yourself up a brownie on the way out. We have plenty. I hope you ladies enjoyed your lunch, and we'll give these beautiful gifts that Emily talked to us about this Christmas. See y'all soon.